Okay, the second key to an impassioned prayer life, structure and spontaneity. I know all of us love structure. It's like discipline. All of us love discipline. No, but structure and spontaneity. Now, remember I said an impassioned prayer life is frequent, it's extended, it's energizing, and it's sustainable. And these two things can revolutionize your prayer life if you're not presently doing it. Now, what's structure? A structure is a disciplined commitment to the repeated use of set times and prescribed ways of praying. Set times and prescribed ways of praying. We're going to talk to more about the life of David extensively, because David was a man after God's own heart, and we can learn so much about prayer from the Psalms and David's life. But this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible that David wrote, and he said, In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. This is an amazing verse. And I'm just going to zero in on one word. I will order. I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Now, what brought David back again and again every morning to spend time with God? In fact, another place it says, what does it say? Seven times a day I'll praise you, David says in one place. But what brought him back again and again and again? It was the fact he was ordering his prayer life. Now, order is a very interesting word. It's a Hebrew word, and it literally means to arrange or to set in order. To arrange or to set in order. And the same Hebrew word is used like when the Old Testament, when they built an altar and arranged the wood on the altar, that same word is used. They ordered the wood on the altar. In other words, they very carefully structured that sacrificial wood to do the fire. It's also used in the table of showbread in the temple and how they arranged the 12 loaves of bread. They set it in order. It was arranged. It's used as a word in presenting a legal case in Job. And one of the first principles of creation is order. You know, God said, let's separate the light from the dark. God is an orderly God. And day and night, seed time and harvest, the Sinai covenant, of course, is rolled out, and the tabernacle in the wilderness is very orderly. Everything is set in order. The camps, the 12 tribes were specifically to camp in certain places around the tabernacle. And so there are great benefits to order in our lives. Number one, it provides initiative and motivation to overcome prayerless inertia. And you're going to see how this works in just a minute. It's like a launching pad. Order is like a launching pad that launches your prayer up, and then the Spirit will put it in orbit. But sometimes you need to begin in order. Structure enables us to overcome distractions. It helps us focus our prayers, and it powers us for breakthrough. So, I want you to see structure like the launching pad. And the spontaneity of the Spirit is like what empowers that rocket off that launching pad into the heavenlies. You've got to have the launching pad to launch the rocket. And so I want to just share with you, just very practically, and maybe for some of you this is not new whatsoever and this is part of your life, but just as an encouragement, how to establish your prayer time. You know, and I'm speaking in regard to order. Number one, obviously, you need to pick a period of time that works for you on a daily basis, a regular, predetermined, scheduled time. For David, it was in the morning. You know, some people are morning larks and other people are night owls. How many night owls in this room? A few. How many morning larks? Awesome. How many neither? Don't want to get up and don't want to go to bed. God wires all of us in different ways, but I think it's so important. Just like you have, you know, I've got a routine. I get up in the morning, you know, I put the coffee on, I take all my meds, my morning meds, and then I go to my place in my room in the house, in my corner, and I have my prayer time. You know, it becomes routine. It's habit. And there's something about the power of habit in our lives. And everybody has a schedule you got to work around. You have all kinds of things. But I would say you need to make it a commitment, if you haven't already done so, a prescribed time every day. And then the second place, you need a place. You need to have a place, that solitary place, that prayer closet. For Jesus, it was the mountain. It was the desert. There were places he went to a solitary, where he was free from distraction. They say that Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, she had 10 kids. I don't know how many kids she had. But anyway, she'd throw her apron over her head. And when she did that, everybody knew, Mama's in her prayer closet. Don't bother her, you know. And I think so. It's really important to have a place set aside. Look for a favorite place. And then have a plan. And this is really a big part of this thing, but a plan of action. No, those who fail to plan to fail. I mean, that's just, and that it's the same way with your time, you know, with God in building the altar, so to speak, and arranging the wood so the fire from heaven can fall and you can have an experience in his presence. You need to build the altar and arrange the wood, and then God will take care of the fire. And so there are many different things we could talk about, but basically a plan of action is a regular use of a prescribed format or outline or even a formal liturgy maybe that helps you begin to launch in prayer. Formats are effective when they have two things as part of them, two things that will help, you know, with your plan. Number one, a sequential order to it. And number two, a way in which to keep you focused. That's why praying the Lord's Prayer, for instance, is great, because it gets you starting out with praise. Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then you're praying, you know, for his purposes in the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then you're praying for his priorities. Thy will be done on earth, that's in me, as it is in heaven. So there's the priorities. Then you pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You're talking about provision. You're saying, God, you know, provide in my life. And you go right through that thing and you touch all these different points. And there's order to it. And some people use ACTS, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. I mean, different ways. Pray acronym, praise, repent, ask, yield. I mean, there's a number of different things. One of the things that I found so revolutionizing in my life, and here's the thing, it says in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 6:17 or 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In other words, use variety. Variety is the spice of life. I mean, don't get hung up on just one way to do it. But I think it's good to pick different structures that help you launch the prayer presence rocket. And one of the things I've used a lot are crafted prayer. How many are familiar with crafted prayer? Crafted prayer could be called anything. But basically, it's basically a prayer that you write out, that you've been inspired to write out. For instance, one of the things about crafted prayer that's really helpful is it helps you focus on a particular thing that you're being persistent about in your prayer life. And I'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I just want to kind of whet your appetite. So one of the things that I'll do is maybe I'm praying for somebody's healing. And so what I'll do is I'll begin to pray and God will give me scriptures, or I'll do some study and I'll begin to write out some scriptures that I want to claim for the healing of that particular person I'm praying. And so then I'll insert the name. Father, I pray for so-and-so that you would stretch forth out of Acts, stretch forth your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. I pray that they might experience the power of the cross because you suffered at the whipping post through the 39 stripes there, you know, and you write out a prayer that has scripture in it, and then you just begin to pray that prayer every day. Pray it every day. And I've seen amazing things happen. Simplest crafted prayer is just getting one scripture verse that God gives you for something. Like we had our middle daughter has taught internationally for, I don't know, about 10 years. And she was, when she first went to Egypt, she was in Northern Ireland, then she was in Egypt. Now she lives in Turkey. But anyway, she was in Egypt, and I was so concerned for her about taking a teaching job. It was in Cairo. And I was just praying so intently for her. And one morning as I was praying, God gave me, I was reading in Genesis. Actually, it was my daily reading, my Bible reading time. And as I was reading in Genesis, verse 46, I read this verse. And he was talking about Jacob. And he said, "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there, and I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again." And I wasn't thinking about my daughter at all when I read that verse, but how verses jump off the page at you. And that became a crafted prayer for me. I took that scripture, began to write some other things, and I prayed that prayer every day. God, she went down. You promised you'll go down to Egypt, and you're going to bring her back again. I just stood on that verse. You just begin to pray the promises of God. Crafted prayer is just basically praying God's promises in an orderly way. And so I have two big asks of the Lord right now. Two big asks. And I've made some two-paragraph prayers with scriptures for both of those asks. I pray them every morning. Because I'm going to hound God, and I'm going to believe God's going to be true to His Word and true to the promises that He's given me regarding those things in my life. And so crafted prayer is so helpful, and we'll talk again more about it more, but it's so helpful to begin to focus your attention. And what happens, I begin to pray those scriptures, and faith begins to rise up in me, because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you begin, it's like suddenly out of your doldrums, you begin to rise up in your spirit, and you begin to pray with conviction and confidence that God is hearing you. And see, that's where all of us want to be. We want to get into that place where we're in His presence and we know He's hearing us. We know He's hearing us. So, prayer formats and then partners. I think it's so helpful to have somebody to pray with. I try to encourage every believer to have a prayer partner. And if you don't have a prayer partner, go to at least one prayer meeting a week. Because what happens is when you pray with other people, something is sparked in your spirit as well. I don't know if you found this out, but when you pray with somebody, it's like you can feed off of one another, and faith begins to rise, and it's like the two of you just sort of are taken up. And that encourages you as you pray with somebody else. It says in Acts 2:42, the believers continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Something about being devoted. And I know you have a Sunday morning prayer meeting as part of, preparing for the service. And there's something about praying with brothers and sisters that I just love. There's a prayer meeting. I lead it twice a month, and I'm part of it the other Thursdays of the month. Every Thursday, a two-hour prayer meeting from 8 to 10. That's one of the highlights of my week. I love that. There's a great prayer meeting I love to go to on Monday nights. Being with other believers and praying together, it develops and deepens your prayer life. Just persistence, just making it a priority. In the morning, you will hear my voice, Lord, and in the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. I couple prayer with Bible reading because I find studying the scriptures. And I try to, how many are familiar with YouVersion? YouVersion. It's an amazing, you can get an app, you can just go online with it. It's just YouVersion, YouVersion. It's free. It's put out by a church in Oklahoma. And they have hundreds of Bible reading plans on YouVersion. And if you download the YouVersion app, you can pick a Bible reading plan, and then every day it comes up on your phone or on your tablet, or you can read it on your computer. And I've been using YouVersion for probably 5 years. I use that for my Bible reading and Bible reading plans. I usually take a plan that takes me the whole Bible in a year. But there's myriads of Bible reading plans for any topic you want. There's 7-day plans, 14-day plans, month plans, year plans, topics. I mean, it's amazing. I just encourage everybody, download the YouVersion app if you're into technology like that. And or use something else similar to that. It just helps having something. You know, years ago that we had a pastor from India visit our church, Satish Raybordai. And Satish was really a man full of faith. And one of the things that he would always say every time he'd come is, no Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. And he just drummed that into us, you know. Again, it's structure. It's like, and so you make that commitment. I'm not going to let a day go by without feeding my spirit and my soul. I feed my mouth and my stomach every day, 3 times a day and many times much more. But, you know, I'm going to make a commitment, no Bible, no breakfast. And if no Bible, no breakfast doesn't work for you, then no Bible, no bedtime. You know, you can do either one. You can bookend it. But there's something about making that commitment. Again, it's structure, but it does something in you, you know, when you make a commitment. And God helps us with that. God helps with that. And it's revolutionized my life. So I just want to take a moment. I want you just to think about in these 5 things that are up on the screen, in establishing a daily prayer time, which one stands out to you as the most critically helpful at this point in your life? I want you to just think. We'll pick out one of them. Which one do you think would be most helpful for you to increase your experiencing God's presence? And then just again pair up just real briefly and just share what would you like to see God do for you? What area you'd like to grow in? Just take a moment to do that. Okay. You just kind of wrap up. So few of you want to just sort of shout out what be interested to know where. Well, let's just say this. How many felt period of time scheduled? Just raise your hand. Just kind of, we'll just take a quick informal poll. Okay, what about a place? Anybody have a place? Nobody's got a place problem. Few people have a challenge in place. Plan or a format? Okay, several of you. Partners in prayer? Anybody there? Okay. Persistence, just the whole thing. Okay, great. So kind of the bulk are period of time and persistence. Well, whatever you have there, we're going to just take a moment at the close of our time together tonight and just ask God, whatever God's beginning to stir in your heart tonight, just as the kickoff for this, just asking God to release the power of the Holy Spirit for you and to hear your heart cry in terms of your relationship with Him. Well, I want to talk just briefly about spontaneity. The spontaneity is the freedom and flexibility to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And so this structure is wonderful. But if it's just structure, it's like, you know, God in His wonder blends, like you've got to have the wineskin, but you also have to have wine for the wineskin. Wineskin's the structure. Wine is representative of spontaneity in the Spirit. You have the Word, which is structure, and the Spirit. And so, you know, there's a blend of things. And so a spontaneity is so important. It's the presence of God coming in to do what He wants to do. It's not by might, Zechariah says. Not by might, it's not by power, but it's by Thy Spirit, says the Lord. And so throughout church history, really, I mean, every move of God has had a blend of these two. You can talk about the desert fathers and mothers, St. Patrick and the Celts, St. Benedict, Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians. They started a 100-year prayer meeting in Germany. William Booth and the Salvation Army, Sousa Street Revival. All these Christian movements, although placing a divergent emphasis on either structure or spontaneity, maintained a blend of both and thereby sustained years of history-shaping prayer. And so it gets us to that verse I was trying to remember which one. It's Ephesians 6:18. It's God's blueprint. Pray in the Spirit. That's where the spontaneity begins. It's like, okay, God, I'm going to use this structure, but I want to get into a place in the Spirit with you. I want you to come and inhabit. It's like, you know, he inhabits our praises. You begin to praise him and he inhabits our praises. So as you begin to develop that structure, that regular Bible reading time, having that place, having that time, you know, having that plan, you know, begin to have those things, what happens is that begins to help you get into the realm of the Spirit. And then God begins to move in your life and your heart and begin to speak to you, like that verse just coming out of Genesis. Out of, you know, my structure was I read the Word every morning. But then the Spirit comes in that structure and speaks to me. You know, speaks to me. For brevity, I'm not going to share any more illustrations. But so that's so important. It's so important. And there are so many different ways to pray. I don't know if I've got to build on this or not. I guess I don't. It says, with all kinds of prayers and requests, all kinds of, just think of all these different ways to pray, with praise and worship, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of contrition and repentance, contemplative silence. My wife is a contemplative. She loves just sitting in silence in the presence of God. Any contemplatives in the room here? Awesome. You know, just listening for God. That's a form of prayer. Reading the scriptures and quiet scripture and meditation, crafted prayers, as I've said, keeping a prayer journal. I've always kept a prayer journal in my walk with the Lord, and I can go back and see answers to prayer. I write on one side of the page, I write the request, condense it to one line, the date and the request, and on the other side of the page, I write the answer or whatever else God says about what I prayed, wait or no. You know, I write that on the other side, and it's neat to go back and read it and see how God has heard me. And on all occasions, intercession for the nations, for the local, for state and national concerns, spiritual warfare, we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, prophetic proclamations of God's purpose and will. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, sometimes you just begin to declare God's will and God's way and God's purpose, and I'll share some things about that tomorrow. Where the Holy Spirit just takes over and you begin to speak prophetically over your situation, over the situation of somebody else. And there's such power in prophetic prayer. That's when the Holy Spirit really takes over. So, we've talked about presence, we've talked about structure and spontaneity. And the last one is what I call prayer mandates. And I'd have to say, God just really gave this to me in the last 3 years since I got involved in a deeper way, as the Lord called me deeper into prayer. And this has, more than anything else, changed my prayer life. Now, it's just me. It's the way I'm wired. But I'd have to say mandates have changed my prayer life. So what are mandates? Well, prayer mandates is a prayer commitment or a prayer assignment in response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, well, let me put the other ones up here. It's a sacred trust in which God conscripts his prayer watchmen and warriors to intercede on behalf of particular groups of people for the fulfillment of his purposes in their lives. So what it's really like is, it's a prayer assignment. Samuel, you know, in the Old Testament, he says at one place, he says, "Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." I believe God put certain prayer burdens in all of our lives that is like this sacred trust. There are things God wants us to carry before the throne of grace and prayer. Now, all of us have families. If you have family members, I mean, automatically your family becomes part of that trust, that mandate from God. We pray for our 5 children, their 5 spouses, our 11 grandchildren every day. You know, I mean, and the list grows. But I mean, the certain things God puts on your heart. And Jesus, well, let me talk about Paul. Paul says in one place, he prays unceasingly night and day for the churches that he's established. Things that you've birthed, things that sort of you've owned, you've invested your life in. Maybe it's the company you work for, or maybe it's, you know, some other relationship that you have. You know, things that you invest in. Those are prayer trusts. Those are prayer mandates that God wants you to pray for those people. I've created a prayer list over the years, I pray for that prayer list every Saturday morning. I pray through the whole prayer list of family and friends and people who are suffering and people who don't know Jesus. And, you know, I pray for those people regularly as part of my mandate. Now, Jesus is, of course, our quintessential example. And John 17, as I've already said, is such a great prayer because, let's see if I've got to build on that. Jesus said, I'm praying for those the Father has given me. I'm not praying for the world, he says. I'm praying for those the Father's given me. And I just ask you, you know, just for you to think about, who has the Father given you to pray for? And I believe if you just say, Father, who have you given me to pray for? Get out a pencil and paper and start writing it. I think you'd be blessed to know who the Father's given you to pray for. Unsaved relatives, the neighbor across the street, that person who irritates you. Pray for our enemies. Yeah, I just said to say, God, I just would encourage you to take some time this weekend, to, at least at some point, and say, God, who have you given me? So, you know, what groups of people have God given you responses to pray for? Are there other prayer mandates God has given you or wants to give you as a sacred trust? Now, I know there are many prayer meetings springing up this season, you know, praying for the election. What makes you weep? You know, what really grieves your spirit? What, you know, it says the righteous soul of Lot was vexed daily as he sat at the gate to Sodom and Gomorrah. What vexes your soul? What ungodliness in this world just breaks your heart? Maybe it's the persecuted church. You know, maybe it's, you know, what's happening in government. It could be any number of things. And saying, God, what have you put on my heart? What's my prayer assignment that you're giving to me? This is an important point because I think as you identify and you begin to pray and ask God, what are these trusts you've given me to pray for? Who have you given me? What I did is I, you know, over the last 4 years is, you know, I've gone through this process. I've actually, again, I'm a very structured, orderly kind of person. I love order. So, you know, I've identified 7 mandates in my life, 7 things I believe God has called me to carry before the throne of grace regularly. And here's the thing about mandates. What they help you do, they help you develop a consistency in prayer. Now, what I've done with mine, and I know I was inspired by a church in our area that does this. They've identified 7 mandates for their church. They made a bookmark. They've got a mandate for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so as a church, they pray for those mandates regularly. But the mandates in my life that I pray for, I start out the week on Sunday, and I pray for the church. I pray John 17. I use that prayer, and I pray for that. And this is just, I'm just giving you an example of what a mandate would look like. So I have a burden for the local church, the church I'm a part of, and some other churches, the churches in my area. So I pray for them. And then on Monday, I pray for my city and my county. And I've developed scriptures that I pray for all these different things. I have scriptural promises. I pray for the governmental leaders. I've got by name, I pray for the sheriff, the mayor, the city council. I mean, I've got a little, and I, so every Monday I know this is city government day. I'm praying for the city today. And then on Tuesday, I pray for the persecuted church. And I have some scriptures, and I have subscribed to some publications that I read about the persecuted church. And so persecuted church day is Tuesday for me, and I just begin to carry that before the throne of grace. And then Wednesday are the nations of the world, and God's given me 5 nations that I pray for regularly. One of them is Turkey, where my daughter and son-in-law live. So I'm praying for that nation regularly. And on Thursday, I pray for the United States, because typically Thursday in our country has been the National Day of Prayer Day. And so I've been praying for our nation. I pray for our executive branch, the legislative, the judicial by name, key people, National Security Council. I mean, I just go down the list. I've got a whole plethora of things that, you know, God's put on my heart to pray for about abortion. And, you know, you can go on and on. Then on Friday, I pray for Israel because we are part of a ministry in Israel. And My heart is burdened for Israel, that God's purposes and plans. You know, I believe Israel is the timepiece of God's end time purposes. And we've been to Israel a couple times, praying for the Jewish people, the salvation of the Jewish people and God's end time purposes. Then Saturday, I have my prayer list. I pray for family and friends and loved ones. So that's just my routine. So what happens for me is the mandate is, I know on any given week, I've covered every base God's given me to cover. I mean, I come away every day. I feel like, okay, God, I've unburdened myself of the things you've given to me to pray for. And I do a variety of different things. Some days I don't go through my list. Some days I just pray in the Spirit. I mean, there's any number of things, but, you know, I'm focused primarily. Not that I don't pray for other things those days either. But so I would just say, just to encourage you, maybe as you ask God about this, and let me just close at this. What's nice about prayer management, it assigns a priority to praying regularly for the concerns that God lays on your heart. And it provides a rhythm to your weekly prayer life, which I does for me anyway, and gives specific focus and direction to your praying. So I know when I wake up Tuesday, I wake up many times praying for the persecuted church because that's become a habit for me. And it adds depth of revelation and wisdom and authority to your prayers. You know, God's given me scriptures. God's given me revelation as I'm praying for these different things. So and that encourages you in your prayer as well. So we're going to close. As your prayer life hit the wall, you know, prayer's like a marathon. It really is. I've run 7 marathons. And, you know, you get to 20, 22 miles, and you hit the proverbial wall. I just think, oh, I'm a young buck. I'm not going to hit any wall, you know. But I've hit the wall a couple times, and I'll tell you, anybody run some marathons in here? A couple, yeah. You know what it's like. And so prayer can be like that too. You know, you hit the wall sometimes. I hit the wall. I've hit the wall several times in the last couple of years myself. But you know, when you hit the wall, that's when I had an experience. It's the last marathon I ran. Running Twin City Marathon, I was at mile 22, and I was walking, and I was ready to quit. And out of the blue, this guy comes out of the crowd, and here it's a friend of mine from church. I never knew he was going to be at the marathon, or you know, let alone look me. He came, and he's a joyful guy. You know, he comes out, "How you doing?" And he starts walking beside me, and we start talking. And you know, he just lifted me up, and I ended up running again. I said, "I'll see you, Tom. I'm going." You know. And God is like, the Holy Spirit's like that. You know, when we hit the wall, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's going to come alongside you and he's going to help you with whatever stuff you're struggling with. And all of us struggle at times. So it's not unusual to struggle. And so, you know, as we've kind of opened this whole topic up with prayer, I just want you to kind of open your heart as we close here to the Holy Spirit, in terms of what does the Holy Spirit want to do just before we go home tonight in your heart. And then I'll ask, I don't know, however Tom would like to close the service, but I just thought we'd just pause a moment. Father, I just thank you for these precious brothers and sisters here tonight gathered, Lord, all of us. And Lord, each of us has things we've been carrying in our heart, Lord, that we'd like to see a breakthrough in. And Lord, all of us want a deeper relationship with you. We want greater intimacy, Lord, a clear ear to hear your voice. And God, a desire, Lord, to experience your presence, to know that we're loved, to know that you're a Father who loves us with an everlasting love and is loving kindness drawing us closer and closer to you. And so, Lord, I just pray tonight, whatever these obstacles or hindrances may be in various hearts in this room, I pray, God, that you just would, like my friend Tom, come alongside me, Lord. You'd, by the Spirit, come alongside my brothers and sisters here tonight and just release an impartation of encouragement. Lord, just release something new in the Spirit to quicken and make alive their prayer life like never before. Thank you, Father. I'm going to let Tom close. I don't know how you'd like to close, Tom. But thank you very much and pray that God just begin to move in your midst here.
Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Lord, you tell us in James 5, chapter 5, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. You're also talking about Ezekiel, about standing in the gap. And Father, we stand in the gap for this church, Light of Christ. And Father, you want us to take a next step in prayer as corporately, as a group, and as individuals for what you have planned for us. And that means, Lord, we have to step forward. So, Father, we just pray for all those that are here. We ask, Lord, to bless all those that are here. Help all of us grow in faith. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Kind of a sweet presence. And thank you, Father, that you love and care for us and want to help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord.